Merry Christmas. Good evening and welcome to our Christmas special worship time for Harbor of Hope. Got your Christmas cards mailed? All finished your shopping? Got your house all decorated? Presents under the tree? Yeah? Cookies made for Santa? Huh? Carrots for the reindeer? Come on, you know the drill. Well, if so, you're all ready for the big day. But I do have to say this one thing. Did you know that right now, during this Christmas season, there are 44 major and minor wars going on in the world? These range from something as small as a civil war in Mozambique to the war in Syria right now. 46,000 people lost their lives this year in Syria. And right now, it's Christmas there, too. Merry Christmas. Seems like peace on earth and goodwill towards men, like the angels sang, is a bit in short supply in some parts of the world. It's not because we don't want it. Everybody wants world peace. Some of you are old enough like me to remember. In 2000, there was this great movie, Miss Congeniality. Sandra Bullock played an FBI agent going undercover as Miss New Jersey in the USA pageant. My favorite quote from the movie is when she's asked, "Gracie, what is the one most important thing our society needs?" "That would be harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan, and world peace." It's a serious question, though. How will the world ever experience peace? Many, many, many years ago, I took a class at Boston College that was entitled Classical Philosophy, and one of the philosophers we read was a guy named Immanuel Kant. See the irony there? I don't believe I ever understood a single word he ever wrote. However, this is what he said about world peace. He said, "Perpetual peace is no empty idea, but a practical thing, which through its gradual solution is coming always nearer its final realization." Immanuel Kant. Here then is a man obviously a lot more intelligent than me and most of us, who believes that mankind is evolving essentially ever closer to this utopian idea of world peace. What do you think? I think he's nuts. I mean, did he not read the papers? There were just as many wars and crimes and murders in his day as there are in ours. Ironic, isn't it, that the solution he was looking for was right in front of his nose. His entire life, his first name, Immanuel, God with us. You see, world peace will only happen when God is with us, when Immanuel reigns. There's a different approach to world peace that comes from another great philosopher of a past age, Conan the Barbarian, who said, "What is best in life? To crush your enemies, have them driven before you and hear the lamentation of their women." Yes, peace through crushing things. So peace on earth, is it just an impossible dream, something that angels sing about? Peace between nations, peace between races, peace in our inner cities, peace in our homes, peace in our hearts. That's where it has to start, you know. Peace in our hearts, with you, with me, right here. But how does that happen? How does that happen? You know, nobody ever asked me to, but if I had to write a subtitle for the entire Bible, this would be it. The Bible, How the Prince of Peace Heals the World. How the Prince of Peace Heals the World. You see, a year ago, we began this Garden to City series of sermons through the entire Bible. Last January, we started with Genesis 1:1 and God's creation. And Kelly reminded us last week that everything God created, including you and me, was tov, the Hebrew word for good. It was all good. And we also saw that it didn't take very long for human beings to mess up all that good that God had created. They went their own way. They messed things up for all of us. So now our relationship with God is fractured. We're at odds. Our relationships with one another are shallow and dysfunctional. The environment of our planet, it's been trashed, and our souls are sick and tired. This world needs peace, there's no doubt about that. It needs healing on so many levels, and that's the rest of the story of the Bible, How the Prince of Peace Heals the World. A couple of weekends ago, Katie and I went to see a performance of Handel's Messiah, not just the Hallelujah chorus, but the whole thing. It was transporting. All of the lyrics from Handel's Messiah come directly from the scriptures. One of my favorite songs was, "Unto us a child is born, which you were supposed to have just heard, but you didn't." But anyway, the words were there from Isaiah 9. It says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us. A son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end." 600 years before Christ, Isaiah made that prophecy. A child would be born, a son given, a son unlike any other, a son who would be called that Mighty God, that Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a thrilling prophecy. And for 600 years, the world waited in hope for the one who would usher in that government of peace. So how does the Prince of Peace heal the world today? Well, the first thing he did was he became one of us. He came in person. He didn't just send an ambassador. God himself came, became a human being. We heard Linus tell the story of his advent at the beginning of the service, but it bears repeating. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields, guarding their flocks by night. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of God's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you're going to recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth with those whom God is pleased." So the birth of Jesus was heralded by armies of angels, announced to lowly shepherds, witnessed by barn animals, presaged by a star, paid homage to by kings. His parents were ordinary. His circumstances were poverty. He grew up a carpenter with calloused hands. And until the day of his baptism by John in the Jordan, his life was unremarkable. But on that day, everything in the world changed. He was announced as Emmanuel, the Son of God, God with us. So how does the Prince of Peace heal the world? He became one of us, and then he loved us, and he showed us what love really is. In the Gospels, it's all one-on-one. One person at a time, one life at a time, one story after another of people who were healed in some way by Jesus. People who encountered this Prince of Peace were always changed, or at least they were offered the possibility of change. Some of my favorite stories involved his encounters with lepers. In those days, leprosy was seen not only as an incurable physical disease, but as a sign of judgment and the curse of God. Lepers were outcasts. They were unclean. No one in their right mind would associate with them, and no one would ever, 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 under any circumstances, touch them. For if you touched them, you would be infected with their uncleanness. Their lives were over. They were the walking dead. But then Jesus came. And every single time he encountered one of these poor unfortunates, he healed them. Not with words. Not by demanding some act of contrition from them, but by touching them. Just touching them. Now imagine for a moment, this person with leprosy had not felt a loving human touch since the day that first spot appeared. Jesus loved them, burned right past that barrier. He touched them, and he absorbed into himself all of their uncleanness and their crud, and they were healed totally and permanently. Jesus simply loved people everywhere he went. His prayers were powerful. His teaching was revolutionary. His miracles were mind-boggling. His friends, they were whores and hooligans. His touch brought healing. And his words brought freedom. His power gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and speech to the mute. His grace forgave sin, even the worst. His love crossed racial, religious, and ethnic barriers and made heroes out of outcasts. He was unique among men, and his life was for us all the way, loving us all the way, even to the bitter end. So how does the Prince of Peace heal the world? He became one of us. He loved us, and he died for us. His suffering was horrible, but his death bought for us forgiveness and peace with God. And his resurrection, his physical resurrection from the dead, gave us a glimpse of what God has in store for humanity. You see, the Prince of Peace heals the world by giving himself up for her, by absorbing all the guilt and shame and death, and by replacing them with freedom and grace and new life, one person, one heart at a time, just like the lepers. Peace through the healing of our souls, even today. Now, that's all well and good, someone might say, that personal peace thing, that one-on-one thing with Jesus. It is good. But what about the world? What about the whole world, the global mess that we're in right now? How does the Prince of Peace heal that? How does the Prince of Peace heal the whole world? And in my mind, this may be the coolest thing of all. He returns for us. He returns. He reigns, and he makes all things new. You, me, us, the planet, all of creation, not just renewed, recreated. He makes all things new. This is what the world groans for right now. This is what our souls yearn for. It's what we're made for. Listen, John writes, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. Look, I am making everything new. Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely, freely from the springs of the water of life. And then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of Main Street. Can you imagine Main Street in the new creation? On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. The tree of life. This is the same tree that was in the center of the Garden of Eden back in Genesis. And now we know why it's there. It's there for the healing of the nations. This isn't just the ceasing of hostilities. This is no temporary truce. This is the end of wars and animosities and ambitions and imperialism and totalitarianism. It's the end of poverty and hunger and disease and racism and injustice. This is the deep healing that our world desperately needs and that no human government can ever provide, ever. When the Prince of Peace comes again, the government will be upon his shoulders and there'll be no end to its peace. He comes again globally to heal the nations. John continues, no longer will be there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. What a picture. On December 25th, 1914, many of you have heard this story, but it bears repeating. Allied and German forces faced each other in World War I. From the trenches, across a no man's land that was completely cratered, burned, and devoid of any living thing, Christmas morning dawned silently. And soon, with the absence of bullets flying through the air, heads popped up out of trenches on both sides. Greetings were exchanged, and a truce was agreed upon for the day. German and English soldiers laid down their weapons, crossed over no man's land, and exchanged cigarettes and other goods. Christmas carols were sung in both German and English. A soccer game even took place. The truce lasted throughout the day and into Christmas night. It was magical. Enemies met and shook hands, and they found that they were the same. They were all human beings with hearts and souls and loved ones waiting at home for them. Think of the pictures that were shared during that time, soldier to soldier, of wives and girlfriends and children. They all wanted a better world for their kids. They all longed for the days of peace when farmers could farm and bakers could bake and life was normal. The sad ending to that story, of course, is that the peace was soon shattered again. Some officer gave an order, and the bullets started flying once again. What a horrible waste. But for a brief interlude centered around the Prince of Peace, we got a glimpse of world peace. When Jesus returns, that will be permanent. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain." All of these things gone forever. Wow, what a day that will be. Meanwhile, the Prince of Peace still heals the world, one person at a time. Do you know him? Do you know him? His promises for your future include world peace and a new creation, but his promises for your present include peace between you and God, soul peace. Do you know him? Someday he's going to come again. He's going to right every wrong and bring in a government of beauty and justice and love. But right now, his promises for you are complete and total forgiveness for every sin you have ever committed, adoption into his family, and a totally reconciled relationship with God. Imagine that. A clean slate, a new family, a fresh start, a whole new life begun in you. Do you know him? The Prince of Peace is here, waiting for you to invite him into your heart. Like the old carol says, where good souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. If you don't know him yet, open your heart. What better time to do that than Christmas? You may be afraid of what will happen. You may expect harshness and judgment, but you won't get it. What you will get is peace and love. He loves you. He loves you. And what if you do know him already? What if the Prince of Peace already makes his home in your heart? Well, then, the word about Christmas is this to you. Get up from your lazy boy. Stop just sitting there waiting for his return. Do something. Do your job. Find your mission in this world. God knows there's plenty to do out there. Get out there and spread God's love somehow. Just do it. Do it till he comes. How about that? Love people like he did. Till he comes again. And that's how the Prince of Peace heals the world. Now I'm going to send us off from this Christmas Eve service with the very last words recorded in the Bible. We started last January with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And tonight we end with this. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, God's holy people." Merry Christmas.